Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. We are going to continue and conclude our section on restoring biblical childhood. Lord willing, next time that I preach, we're going to get into the aspect of marriage. We're going to meet together on Sunday to deal with that. And then following that, we're going to be restoring biblical childhood, responsibility being one of the aspects that we're going to emphasize. And so tonight I want to conclude our study on respect for age and authority. Respect for age and authority. There was a time in America where respect for age and authority was just something that was normal. It was just part of normal living. Children were expected to say yes ma'am and yes sir, no ma'am and no sir. It wasn't just a Southern thing back years ago. Like a lot of things, they kind of migrate to different regions of the country, and it seems that that has migrated to the South. But that was just a sign of respect, that you were speaking to an adult, and you showed respect to that adult by whenever you would respond properly by saying yes ma'am or yes sir or no ma'am, no sir. It wasn't this yeah and no and all this kind of stuff that today is considered to be, oh, that's just normal talk, but it's not. It's a shift away from what used to be a sign of respect for those that were older, those that were in authority. I guarantee that today, if I were to take us all up there to Marine Corps base, where they have basic training, that you wouldn't hear come out of a recruit's mouth, yeah, yeah, Sarge. He'd be picking the boot out of his mouth. He'd be getting the shoelaces from out of his throat because they don't put up with that. They have a protocol. It's yes, sir, no excuse, sir. That's just the way things do. They are in Marine Corps boot camp. Now, maybe it's different in the other armed forces. I don't know. I don't keep up with all those things. But I do know what Bill Carmichael told me, that they don't accept anything but yes, sir, and no, sir, no excuse, sir. That's the three responses that you give. That they fit in every situation. Isn't that amazing? And in a Marine's life, those three statements fit every situation. And yet today we have disrespect for authority and age. It's being promoted on television today, where older people are buffooned. The Disney Channel has programs that are that way. You'll see commercials and things of that nature where they're buffooning age, you know, and snap too. Come on, let's go, Dad. I need you to do this for me, you know, and all this kind of stuff where the kids are in charge and Mom and Dad are just buffoon. They're just people that are taking up space in the house while I rule the roost and everything goes my way. I get my music, I get my dress, I get all that kind of stuff, and respect for age is trampled. It is trampled in the media. It's trampled in our society, and bless the Lord, we need to have it as part of our forefront of teaching our children here at Grace Bible Church. If there's only one lighthouse, let it be this church. I believe there are other pastors that agree with me, and I pray that they're preaching this kind of stuff because it's Bible. To preach the whole council, you've got to hit this. You've got to hit this square on the head. And here's a verse of Scripture that you don't hear a lot because we spend all of our time preaching the New Testament. Well, you know, you have to have the foundation of the New Testament. That's the Old Testament. It's an amazing thing. I don't know if you've ever gone to sermonaudio.com, but New Testament messages outdo Old Testament messages almost 3-1 on the recordings that are made. And I know that not all messages are recorded on there, but 3-1 on New Testament messages, Old Testament. Well, I think that's sad. I remember Dr. Bob Jr. told us in Preacher Boys class, he said, every day you ought to spend time in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because if you're not careful, you're going to get a lopsided view of what God has to share. And that stuck with me, that concept. That makes sense. You're going to get lopsided. You're going to say, well, we only serve the God of love. Well, you need a little Old Testament God in your life. Amen? Where Sinai shakes and lightning comes through and thunder rolls. That's the kind of stuff we need in America today. We're all making nice with each other, and we don't want to ruffle any feathers, you know. We don't want to come across as not being positive. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing positive about hell. I can't think of one. I mean, I can scratch my brain and think long and hard, but I just cannot find one positive thing about going to hell. You've got to cross people in this world. Sometimes they got to get angry and upset before they realize they're a sinner and come to Christ. We've got to get back to the way things used to be, and I'm afraid that won't happen. But we can have little lighthouses. We can have little islands of hope, amen, where we can keep this before. Now, we talked about five different areas last time of respect in the Scriptures, five different areas. And I want to talk about this first one right here. It's in Leviticus chapter 19. And look with me, please. Verse 32, "Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head," that means the man with white hair, "and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord." Now here we find a principle that was laid down in these chapters of Leviticus about how the younger people were to treat the older people. How they were to treat them. And you say, "Oh, wait a minute, aren't these people, I mean, these are adults." You hear that expression a lot. Well, we're all adults here. Not everybody is. I've seen a lot of people that had age that didn't act like adults. I have to deal with it almost on a weekly basis. People that don't behave like adults. Brother Charles back here on the Florida Highway Patrol, how many people do you see acting like adults out on the highway? I mean, there's all kinds of people that may be in their 30s and 40s and 50s that aren't acting like adults. Now, just because you may have age doesn't mean necessarily that you've got maturity. But we are to show respect for age and authority, and we do that by rising up, it says, before the white head. It's a responsibility to rise up. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. That's not words from Todd Brainerd's mind. These are words from God's Word of how we're to treat that. Do you see much of that today? Absolutely not. We don't have time for the elderly. We just have homes for them. I think it's so wonderful to take our boys and girls to the convalescent center. It's the only joy that some of those dear folks down there get is to see the young faces of children and to have a child actually come up and shake their hand and give them a hug. What a blessing that is. Beyond the spiritual impact of that, it's the social impact of children respecting age and not being afraid of the elderly. You know, there are young people that actually grow up in this country that are afraid of older people. They have these stereotypes of older people, and so they just think that way. They're bad people, you know. No! They're people that should be respected and honored, and we need to teach our children that. We need to teach our children to respect age and authority. Lord willing, we're going to be taking a group of our young people over to Berry Hill Manor in November. And we're going to spend 3 hours there. We've been invited to come. They were wanting us to come sing. And I said, I want to do something a little bit different. We don't want to come and entertain. We want to come and be a blessing and help. So can we come and read Scripture in their rooms with them? And maybe we could play a few games with the young. And let our young people just spend some time with these folks down there. And they said, I can't believe that that's what you're going to do, but that's fine with us. If you want to come and spend more than 30 minutes with us, that'll be fine. The people will love that. Now, I think it's important. They won't know these things because today we run from this kind of responsibility. And yet it's something. We're to rise, it says, before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. That's the basis for that. Why? Because God watches over the elderly. God says in His Word, I watch over them. I take care of them. We're going to see here in just a little bit in the book of Lamentations about how the Babylonians, when they came into Jerusalem and Judea, they abused the elderly. And in Jeremiah chapter 51, we find that God wreaks vengeance upon Babylon because they mistreated the people of Jerusalem when they came in there. He spends two chapters, Jeremiah 50 and 51. Two chapters are dedicated to the destruction of Babylon and the details that God goes to of how He's going to destroy them and why. And why. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. The first area, children like adults are to give honor to whom honor is due. We are to give honor to whom honor is due. Secondly, children and adults are to behave respectfully to those that are in authority. Submit yourselves, 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And that leads us to the third thing. Children and adults should show respect to governing officials and civil government officers. That is, those duly deputized to enforce the law of the land. We don't have time to look at Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, but it says the very same thing we read in 1 Peter chapter 2. That children and adults are to show respect to those that are in authority over us and those that are duly authorized to exercise and make sure that the laws of the land are enforced. We're to teach them to respect the laws of the land. Number four, the fourth area, is that children and adults should show respect and obedience to church leaders. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." The entire chapter is talking about pastoral authority. Pastoral authority in that regard. And then fifthly, children and adults should show respect to those older than themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 1 says, Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father." Rebuke not an elder. Here's Timothy, he was 40 years old at the time that message was given to him. Paul said, "Timothy, when you're dealing with the older men, I want you to treat them as your father." Now why? Why should I treat them? I'm the pastor. I should be able to go in and... Wait a minute. You treat them as a father. Treat them as a father. I think it's important that we show respect to those that are older and that we not abuse that privilege and think, well, we know more than they do. We've come a long way. We've got all this technological information now. We've got all this kind of stuff. Yeah, but they've got common sense. Read the obituary of common sense this morning in Sunday school. I'd like to get that from you. That'd be good to put in the projector in the near future. The death of common sense. You know, it's interesting. The generation that's in trouble today is not the generation of the Depression. It's not the generation of the Depression era. You know who the generation that's in trouble? It's my group. All the ones that came out of college in the 1980s that were going to set the world on fire. They were going to change the way that the financial markets were going to work. And they got into government. And now look at the pickle that we're in today because of greed and selfishness. It's not the Depression era people that have got us into this trouble. They were the ones that were careful with their money. It's the greedy ones wanting to make a quick buck. I want to retire when I'm 40 years old. I want to retire when I'm 50 years old. I want to have the yacht and I want to have all this kind of... They've got it all right. But they're losing their shirt, aren't they? You can't do wrong and get away with it. And now it's on a universal scale. We are seeing the fruit of the generation of the 60s. Their children are coming on the scene now. That's me. That's my age group. We're seeing what the disrespect for authority in the 60s has bred now in the children that came out of the 1960s. And I want to tell you, it's not a pretty picture, is it not? You know what we did? We left respect for age and authority, and now it's permeated even into our financial markets, this disrespect for principles of the past that kept us in good stead, and now we've got these new principles that we've been operating on, and now we are just seeing it all fall apart and crumble. That doesn't mean that no mistakes were made in previous generations. We had the fall in 1929, I understand that. And there's been other things, but there were principles that were left behind even then from previous generations. I've read some of the things that were written during that particular time, and they talked about that. We've left some of the principles that were used to be at the beginnings. Every generation sees that if you're wise and you have respect for the times. Now, these are the five areas of respect. I want to get into appropriate behavior in regard to age or authority. Appropriate behavior. Number one, that we have a responsibility to provide care as a sign of respect to those that are older. Now, I'm talking to the children. I'm talking to those of you that have older parents. We have a responsibility to take care of our parents when it comes that time when they cannot care for themselves. I want to draw your attention, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, I know that in today's economy, this is not something that's taught. What's taught is, I'm waiting for mom and daddy to die so I can get their money. I remember Paul Hobbs' dad telling the story about he was going to deliver some equipment or pick up some equipment from a house. He had gotten a call saying, we have a pickup of oxygen tanks and equipment that needs to be picked up for the medical firm. He walked in there, and he walked into the house, and there were a bunch of people, and they were all fussing and arguing. And he looked over there, and in the chair was a lady that was dead, her little pet dog sitting in her lap. They had not even gotten there to take care of the person that had died. They're in there arguing. You know what they were arguing over? How they were going to divvy up the stuff in the house. How they were going to divvy up the stuff in the house? Here's this person that's died. They didn't care about this person in life. Why should they care about her in death? We're glad she's out of the way. Now we can get her stuff. You know, that kind of a society doesn't deserve to exist, does it? That's why those kinds of societies crumble. They crumble and fall apart because the basic unit of society is not civil government, but the home. The home is the basic unit, and when the home is destroyed, everything else just falls around it, crumbles about it. Oh, what a terrible, terrible illustration. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is the great passage dealing with widows. Notice, beginning at verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Now, this is instruction to Timothy as a pastor. How is he supposed to treat those that are younger than he? He's supposed to treat them as brothers. How is he supposed to treat the elder women? He's to treat them as mothers. The younger as sisters. I want you to know, folks, my responsibility as a pastor, and Pastor Watt, we have a great responsibility to show respect to those that are older than we are and to treat those that are younger than we are as brothers and sisters. Wow, that's something that weighs heavy on the heart and mind of a pastor, to not go beyond and act foolishly and not go beyond how the Scripture prescribes for a pastor to act in regard to his people. Notice verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, or this is a better translation as grandchildren, children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, I want you to look at that word piety. The word piety in the Greek means to act reverently and dutifully. To act reverently. They are to show piety. Now, how are they showing their reverence? They are to come into that situation and they're to take care of their mom or their grandmom. That's what they're supposed to do. It says to children and nephews. That word nephew is not a good translation. It's the word for grandchildren. Children and grandchildren take care of mother or grandmother. They're to take care of that individual. They're to show piety. That is reverence and duty. And then it says, secondly here, if there was any doubt about what he's talking about here, he says, and to requite their parents. The word requite there is the word to render back recompense. Let me say that again. The word requite means to render back, to give back recompense. That's pretty clear. The children owe their parents a great debt which they can never fully repay for all the love, patience, and self-sacrificing care that's been given. So when they can't care for themselves, the children rise up and the grandchildren rise up and say, I'm going to take care of you, grandmother. In this context, it's talking about the widow. We're going to take care of you, mom. We're going to take care of you, grandmother. We're going to make sure that your needs are met. We're going to show piety, reverence, and we're going to take care of you. Now, that's the responsibility. It doesn't fall to the church if there are children and grandchildren alive that can care. You know, that's where a lot of churches get into problems. They start bearing the duties, and so the children and the grandchildren say, we're not going to worry about that. Church will take care of them. Well, wait a minute. Timothy was instructed by Paul. Now, if they're a widow indeed, in other words, there's no children or grandchildren involved, then you have a responsibility to take care of the widow. But as long as there are children and grandchildren present, it's their responsibility. And Timothy, you've got to teach them concerning their responsibilities. And that's what I'm doing tonight. I'm trying to teach and put into the youngest child up to the oldest person here that still has living parents that our responsibility is to show reverence, piety, and to requite them. That is, to pay back by taking care of them. That's how we show respect. That's appropriate behavior to our parents. Secondly, we are to submit to their advice and counsel. Now, this is the tough one. I want you to turn over with me, please, to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture that deals with pastors and how they're supposed to work with the people in their church, how they're to instruct them. Verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine," Paul speaking to Titus, "that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may," say it out loud please, "teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Now, I want you to think for just a moment. Here's the structure that God has established. In the New Testament era, pastor instructs his people concerning the Word. The aged men have a responsibility to the young men in the church to teach them, not just the pastor now. Now get this, not just the pastor, but the aged men in the church to pull up beside and help and give instruction. That's biblical. To teach the young men to be sober, that means serious-minded. I want to tell you something. It's serious when you're going to get married and you're going to have children and bring up children in this world. It's serious business. You can't go into it giggling because you're going to come out crying. You need to come in with a serious mindset, as it says here. "The aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, that they may teach the young men." Verse 6, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." Serious-minded. "Then the aged women are to likewise teach the younger women." But I want you to get this in verse 4. The concept is, as they teach, the younger men and the younger women do what with the teaching that's been given to them? What are they to do? They're to accept it. They're to take it in and absorb it and put it into practice in their lives. Isn't that the purpose of teaching? If I'm going to teach somebody how to cut the grass, my whole purpose in mind is for me not to have to cut the grass, but that the person that I'm teaching is going to go out and cut the grass, right? A teacher in the classroom here is instructing pupils in arithmetic and history and Bible so that those students will take the knowledge that's been given to them and put it into practice in their lives so that one day when they graduate, they'll be a worthy individual that'll be able to conduct themselves in a civil society. Is that not the case? The teacher imparts knowledge so that the student will take in the knowledge. A student that doesn't take in the knowledge is going to be a student without knowledge. And so in the church setting, there's a responsibility to respect age, respect authority, and take the advice. This is absent from the minds of young people in our generation today. You understand that? We already know what there is to know. We've got the internet. Well, hallelujah! You've got the internet. You're like the guy that goes out and finds, "I found the internet." Well, the internet is not God. Well, we've got all these banks of knowledge here. We don't need these elderly people. What do they know? Well, the Bible says that God says that the elderly are to teach the younger, and the younger are to respond by taking the advice that's given to them. Now, you can be a fool And you can go out and reject it. And I use that word in accordance with what the Word of God has to say about the fool. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no omnipotent presence over me. I'm in power. I'm in control, and nobody's going to tell me anything. I know it all. Well, God help you. You're on your way to destruction. You're on your way to bitter destruction. It won't necessarily come right away, by the way. It'll take some time, but it will come. We're seeing it in the United States of America. We thought we had made it through the 60s. Woo! Oh, no, no. And now we're dealing with the children of the 60s. The children that were born to the flower kids that knew no authority. Now they're in charge of our government today. And we're seeing the fruits of all of this disrespect for authority, disrespect for age. Now we're seeing it come to bear upon our nation and around the world. It's coming to fruition, folks. I'm not just talking off the top of my head. All you got to do is read the newspaper. The judgment of youth is coming to bear on this nation. God warned about that in Isaiah chapter 3, when the child will rule, where children and women bear rule because there's no leadership from men. That's where we've come in America today. You look at all these, Mr. O'Pager mentioned this in Sunday school, and you look at this whole crisis, and everybody's running around like ants in a disturbed ant mound. Everybody's running around. What can we do to put out this fire? What are we going to do? And everybody's running around. I've got an idea. And everybody's just running around. All these ideas of how we're going to stop it. All we have to do is remove the mark-to-market thing and everything will be straight. It's been 2 weeks since it was removed and things are still tumbling. Oh, well, what are we going to do next? And now we're looking for a man that will step up and take care of all this stuff. Now, let's move on. Submit to advice and counsel. Now notice, please, the warning. Verse 5, speaking to the young women to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, comma, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Whenever people turn away from the truth of God's Word and the testimony of the elderly, whether it be men or women, they blaspheme the Word of God. That's what it says here. The Word of God is blasphemed when we say, I don't need your advice. Shut up, old woman. Shut up, old man. That's the lingo of today. You don't tell me anything. I know what I'm going to do. Yeah, you know what you're going to do. You're blaspheming God's Word. And you're going to bring down all the judgments that come with blaspheming His Word. I would not want to be underneath that judgment when the sword falls. This is important. This is important. Submit to the advice. Why does God have the elderly in our church? So that they might advise the younger and that we might listen to their advice. Oh, how we've gotten away from that in our country today. Thirdly, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn with me, please. Look at verse 17. We have four sentences in one verse. Four sentences. These are all in the imperative in the Greek language. Imperative, you know what an imperative is, you know? Now you can say, stop it. Or you can say, stop it! Now, one's in the imperative and one's not. All right? Now, if you have a little child that's fixing to cross the street and there's a truck that's coming down the road, you don't say, honey, would you please stop? No, you holler out, stop, there's a truck coming! Hopefully so you'll get their attention. Now, it's amazing to listen to soccer coaches out on the field. Everything's in the imperative. Everything is in the imperative, okay? Get in front of that player, get in front of that player. Oh, you didn't get in front of that player. See what happened? And the ball goes in the goal. Everything's in the imperative. Well, here we have four imperatives from the Greek language that God gives to us. Number one, honor all. Now, men does not appear in the original language. Honor all is what appears there. That's the first. Secondly, love the brotherhood. That means that we're to love other Christians, because brotherhood in this is in the context of the Christian. We're to love other Christians. You say, well, some Christians aren't worth loving. Well, you're commanded to love them. You'll just have to get over that. You'll have to love them because God said so. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Oh, fearing God still in the New Testament era? Yes, sir, it is. Yes, it is. Fearing God is in the New Testament. And then honor the king. Now, did you see this? Honor all. That's in our society. We're to show respect for all. We're not to be disrespectful to anyone in society. Number two, love other Christians. That's within the realm of the godly. We're to love each other. Then when it comes to God, the relationship with Him, we're to fear Him, and we're to show honor and respect to the King. Now these are four areas wrapped in one. With these strong principles that are given in the imperative in the Scriptures, we learn that we have a responsibility to maintain our society, and when these four areas are violated, society crumbles. Isn't it interesting that all four areas given to us in this verse are being destroyed today? How many of you think that this country fears God? I just don't see it. How much honor is there in the position of civil authority? What's the latest poll on our government as far as an approval rating? What was it, 13%? Now, why is that? Well, it's because of our governing leaders, but there's just an overall disrespect for authority. That's just what it boils down to. There's an overarching lack of honor for those in civil government. I want you to see further that there is lack of love among the brotherhood. Lack of love for other Christians. We don't see it when a brother or sister is suffering and they need to have the care and help. It's a responsibility of the Christian to do good unto them that are in Christ. We've got somebody that's sick in the church. It shouldn't be beg, plead, oh, would you please go help this person? It should be natural in the heart to go help. Someone's in help, needing help, I'll be there to help. So many times, that's going to mess up my schedule today. That doesn't fit into my schedule. Well, get off your schedule. God's not going to pat you on the back when you get to heaven and say, well, I'm so glad you kept your schedule. I know you didn't have time for anybody else in the church. Couldn't take time to spend a few moments with somebody in the church to pray with them, to show concern for them, because you're too busy to get home to fulfill your schedule. Got to get home so we can eat supper. We got to get home to see what the score is from the football game. And you know, God's people on the mark get a little bit underneath the Cowboys and the Dolphins, and you go down the list, and there's the brethren down there. Am I stepping on some toes? I hope so. Because you see, adults, you're the example of youth. You're the example. Boys and girls are looking up to see what kind of people are leading or are not leading. That's what it boils down to. Four imperatives in this one verse, wrapping up a truth. Degenerating cultures and societies always have at the very beginning disrespect for age and authority. Mark it down. Always the case. Where you have a degenerating culture, there's always at the foundation of that disrespect for age and authority. Let's move on very quickly. This is number four. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We've already touched on this. Do not rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers, to the older women as mothers, and the younger women as sisters, all in purity. Here the commandment was that respect and honor was to be given for the aged. Children, therefore, are not the social equals of adults or the elderly, and therefore should not be allowed to treat them as equals. Stand up. Stand up. Get up. You're all sprawled out all over a chair and someone elderly comes in. You get up. You rise because the Bible said so. You get up. You can stand while someone else takes that. Why? Respect. Respect. We are to treat others with honor and respect for their age and station in life. Oh, how we need to get back to that in our church. And finally, number 5, showing respect for age, Leviticus 19:32, which was our starting verse tonight. You shall rise up, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God in doing so. I am the Lord. Now that's a literal translation. Let me say that again. You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God by doing so. I am the Lord. That was the emphasis of that verse of Scripture. God regards respect for the elderly as part of worship, reverence for Him. Proverbs 16 and verse 31 says, the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Proverbs 20 and verse 29, the glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is what? It's their gray hair. That's what the Bible says is their beauty. Now, the older I get, my younger beauty is disappearing. I never had any younger beauty. The hair is starting to turn gray, but the Bible says that that is a sign of wisdom. Job 32, verses 4 through 6. Now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. Isn't that interesting? Now Elihu was one of the better of the friends of Job. Now he still didn't measure up. He should have been quiet, but he started talking. And God said, who is this that speaketh dark counsel? In other words, who is this that's talking off the top of their head and doesn't have a clue? He was talking about Elihu, the last one to speak. God said that about him. But he, it says, waited till Job had spoken because they were elder than he. In other words, all the friends that were gathered there and Job were older than he. He kept his mouth closed, and he should have. But it says he went on, when Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barachel the Buzite, answered and said, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show you mine opinion. And then he went on and on and on, and God said, who is this? Who is this young man? What is he yapping about? He doesn't know what he's talking about. That was the testimony of God. Elihu should have just... Have you ever been in a situation where you just wanted to say something and then you just, just keep my mouth shut. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, it's one thing for people maybe to guess you might not be very smart, but when you open your mouth and prove it, that's not very good. That's not very good. So here we find that even in the times of Job, remember the first book of the Bible, as far as chronology, is Job. Job is the earliest book to be written. It takes us back to years gone by, and what was it like back when Job lived? Elihu said, I waited. I kept my mouth closed because they were all older than me. He had a respect. He had a respect, limited, but he had a respect for those. He kept his mouth shut. He didn't interrupt. He didn't say, well, I got something to say about this. I've got an opinion that I want to give. I want to opine on that last comment. No, he said, I kept my mouth closed because they were older than me. What a principle that's embedded in the heart. Five areas of appropriate behavior. I trust and pray, moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers that are here, that we insist that our children and our grandchildren show respect. Not to be disrespectful, but to show respect. Hold the door. Don't be clamoring to beat everybody outside the door. Beat grandma and grandpa out first to get out to be, but wait a minute, let them go first. We're the only ones that's going to teach them. Hollywood's not going to teach it. Our government schools are not going to teach it. You're not going to find it from our universities and colleges. They're not going to teach it. It's only going to be taught as we get our hearts and minds anchored in the Word and pass it on to our children. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It's so clear. Lord, we've touched on passages from both Old and New Testament. And the difference between those are almost 2,000 or 3,000 years. From Job's time all the way to Paul's time, almost 3,000 years. And we find respect in each category, each time period. It's something that's eternal. It's something that will always be respect for age. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You might help us to embed that into our hearts and minds of our children. Lord, we know that we fail so miserably of demanding respect for authority, to not put up with this careless attitude of whatever, but instead put into their hearts and minds that respect is important. It means to hold up high, to think highly of. And we pray that we might do so in the homes of those that attend here at Grace Bible Church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.